Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anne Ball, Brian Lynn, Bruce Albert, and Dorothy Gundy. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Katie Weaver will have this week's personal technology report. But first, here is Phil Dierking.
Some of China's largest food suppliers have stopped selling Brazilian beef and poultry. The move comes following a scandal over Brazil's meat processing industry. Fears over Brazilian meat safety have grown since police accused inspectors of taking bribes to permit the sale of rotten and infected meats. Brazil is the world's largest exporter of beef. The announcement from the Chinese food suppliers comes days after China temporarily suspended Brazilian meat imports. Sun Art Retail operates 400 Chinese hypermarkets. A spokeswoman for Sun Art said its stores removed Brazilian beef on Monday from two of the country's top meat exporters. Brazilian beef makes up less than 10% of Sun Art's beef supply, she said. Walmart stores in China have also removed Brazilian meat products from its stores, the Reuters news agency reported. And Germany's Metro has withdrawn Brazilian chicken products from its Chinese stores, a manager said. Hong Kong, Japan, Canada, and Mexico have also announced they were stopping major imports of some Brazilian meat. President Michel Temer said the sale of rotten meat was an economic embarrassment for the country. The Brazilian government has so far barred the exports of meats from 21 plants under investigation. Brazilian officials on Tuesday tried to calm consumers. They said the recent investigation has found only isolated problems with rotten or infected meat. However, the reaction by Chinese food suppliers suggests that the investigation could have a big effect on the world's top meat exporter. Brazil's trade associations for meat producers warned that the scandal could affect employment and the economy. Meat exports make up 15% of total exports. Cattle raising is also an important part of Brazil's culture. China has had its own share of food safety scandals in recent years. Food suppliers want to avoid any possible risks. Sun Art's spokeswoman said it removed Brazilian beef from its shelves before the Chinese government formally commented on the issue. Brazil is the top supplier of beef to China. Importers must now wait several days before they try to find different meat suppliers. The meat will likely be more expensive than Brazil's. Hong Kong was the second biggest buyer of Brazilian meat last year. The Hong Kong supermarket chain Park & Shop said it had removed all Brazilian pork, beef, and chicken from its store's shelves. Park & Shop said in a statement, "To cater for the needs of customers, we will increase the supply of meat and poultry products from other countries. I'm Phil Dierking.
A technology company based in California's Silicon Valley is offering its workers money to leave the area. The startup company, Zapier, describes itself as 100% remote. That means that employees have the choice to work from any location. The CEO and founder of Zapier announced last week the company is offering workers $10,000 to move away from the so-called Bay Area. That is the name for the area around San Francisco Bay. It is known for its good weather, beaches, nearby mountains, and, of course, high-paying technology jobs. It is also one of the most costly places to live in the United States. A one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco costs, on average, $3,400 per month in rent. In nearby San Jose, California, a one-bedroom costs about $2,200 per month. That is according to ApartmentList.com's March 2017 rent report. Even senior high-tech workers at Silicon Valley companies like Airbnb, Twitter, and Uber use about half of their monthly earnings to pay rent, Quartz Media reported. The Bay Area is also facing an increasingly severe housing shortage. Zapier CEO Wade Foster describes the company's offer as a de-location package. That is a play on words for relocation package. Some companies provide financial help to those who must move from a different city to begin a new job. Foster wrote that the recruiting industry has long offered relocation assistance to convince you to move somewhere you may not prefer. We think it's time to get assistance to take a new role you'll love and move to the exact place you want to be. Working remotely or telecommuting is becoming increasingly common in the United States. A recent Gallup study found that the number of Americans who telecommute at least 4 days a week rose from 24% to 31%. Between 2012 and 2016. More than half of all employees in computer, information systems, and mathematics industries work remotely at least some of the time, the New York Times reported last month. Supporters of remote working say it decreases workers' stress and saves both companies and workers money. Employees who work remotely say they are more productive or get more done in a day. Foster says his company hopes to help workers and their families improve their standard of living, something that can be difficult to do in the costly Bay Area. The housing crunch and high cost of living
simply price out many families, Foster wrote. Despite loving the area, the realities are many of us need to look elsewhere to create the life we want for our families. I'm Anne Ball.
A jacket that communicates with electronic devices is the latest invention in wearable technology. The smart jacket was developed by Google in partnership with the American clothing manufacturer Levi's. The two companies recently demonstrated the jacket at the South by Southwest Technology Conference in Austin, Texas. The jacket is made from the same denim material that Levi's is known for worldwide. But it also comes equipped with wireless connectivity. The technology uses fabric made with materials that can carry electronic signals. This lets people touch an area of the jacket near the wrist to perform wireless actions. The interactive jacket includes a small smart tag that attaches to the end of the sleeve. This connects with Bluetooth technology to communicate with other devices. If this tag is removed, the jacket can be washed just like other pieces of clothing. The jacket is expected to begin selling this autumn for $350. The new product demonstrates Google and Levi's desire to create a modern version of denim. The material was first introduced in 1873. The jacket lets users easily control mobile devices while doing other activities, the project website says. Users can connect directly from the jacket to several different services, including phones, music, or maps. Developers expect the jacket to be especially popular among bicycle riders. They may find the technology easier to use than a smartwatch. The project website says its team expects to see many other kinds of wearable technology in the future. It also urges designers to come up with their own ideas. I'm Brian Lynn.
$1.2 million international students attended American colleges and universities in 2016. That is an increase of 6.5% from the year before, and the highest number ever. But the steady growth in the number of international students may not last. Applications from foreign students for the next school year are down. A new report by the American Association of College Registrars and Admissions Officers says 4 out of 10 U.S. colleges reported fewer international applications. The number of undergraduate applications from countries in the Middle East fell by 39%. Michael Riley is the association's executive director. He said there may be fewer applicants because some people see America becoming less welcoming of international students. Riley said colleges are telling students their studies or travels will not be disrupted by future policy changes.
Vim Vival is president of Portland State University in Oregon. He said his school saw a 37% reduction in applications from India for the new school year. Most of the decrease, he said, is because of recent monetary changes in India. Those changes have some parents worried they might not be able to afford the cost of an American college education. But he said some parents also worry about their children's safety after several recent attacks on Indian immigrants in the U.S. In the worst attack, 2 engineers from India were shot last month at a bar in the state of Kansas. One of the engineers, Srinivas Kuchibotla, died. The attacker told the 2 men they are not welcome in America, police said. Vival recently traveled to Hyderabad in southern India to meet with 10 students already admitted to his school's graduate engineering program. The students' parents worry about their safety. His meeting came just after a funeral in Hyderabad for the Kansas shooting victim. I tried to reassure them that America is still very safe and very welcoming to international students, he said. At Portland State, about 1,900 of the school's nearly 28,000 students are from outside the United States. Students from outside Oregon pay about 3 times the $8,000 tuition paid by state residents. The extra money helps the school improve its educational offerings, Vival said.
22-year-old Ma Amandu Sissoko is from Mali in West Africa. He is finishing his senior year at Portland State University and is majoring in finance. Sissoko said his experiences at Portland State have been mostly good after a difficult start as he worked to improve his English skills. He said that President Donald Trump's effort to put in place a ban on immigration from 6 Muslim-majority nations does not affect him directly. But he said the anti-immigrant message he hears from the president and others worries him. As Sissoko sees it, he and other international students benefit by learning about American culture. But he said they help American students learn about their country's cultures. Some American students can't or don't want to travel outside the U.S., Sissoko said. They don't have to. We are coming to them, and they can get to know us. As a Muslim, he said Portland State gives him a chance to practice his religion. It isn't perfect, he said. Prayers are held in a room that is below a room used for musical performances.
The countries with the largest number of students studying at U.S. colleges in 2016 were China, India, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, and Canada. Other countries on the list included Vietnam, Japan, Taiwan, Brazil, and Mexico. That information comes from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Some question if colleges are giving special consideration to international students who often pay higher tuition. Last year, California State Auditor Elaine Howell said state colleges were accepting too many students from outside California. That includes international students and students from other U.S. states. As a result, Howell said, qualified state residents were being denied admission to their top choices for college. In some cases, she said, the colleges lowered admission standards to admit non-state residents who pay higher tuition.
California state colleges collect an average of $28,000 per year from state residents for tuition and living costs like rooms and food. But they receive nearly twice as much from non-residents. Because of this issue, the California University Board is considering a proposal. It would limit the three California colleges with the largest percentage of out-of-state students to their current percentages. The three schools are UCLA in Los Angeles, the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of California, San Diego. The three now have more than 20% of their students from out of state. Jean Block, the chancellor at UCLA, recently spoke to the board. He told the group that money received from non-California residents helped the school offer more educational programs to all its students. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
This is What's Trending Today. An American television program called Wheel of Fortune made news on Wednesday. Wheel of Fortune was first broadcast on American television in the 1970s. Many countries now have their own version of the TV show. In the program broadcast Tuesday night, a contestant named Kevin had a chance to solve the puzzle. He and the other players were given a clue to think of the name of a famous play. All Kevin had to do was identify the last remaining letter correctly, and he would win. Before his final spin of the wheel, the puzzle read, a streetcar, N-A, blank, E-D, desire. It was the name of a famous play set in the southern state of Louisiana. A streetcar named Desire. Tennessee Williams wrote the play in 1947. A streetcar named Desire won the Pulitzer Prize, an award given to American writers and publications. A streetcar named Desire is one of the most well-known American plays of the 20th century. But what letter did Kevin call out to solve the puzzle? He asked for the letter K. No one watching the show could believe his mistake. The next contestant, Lisa, easily solved the puzzle and won $1,000. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
The media streaming business, Netflix, is changing how users can rate and find shows. The new method is designed to better connect viewers with shows they might like. The changes may save you some time as you binge-watch your favorite shows. No longer will users be able to use stars to rate what they watch on Netflix. The update changes user ratings to a thumbs up or thumbs down system. This makes it simpler for viewers to post ratings and is similar to YouTube ratings. The company has been testing the new up or down system with hundreds of thousands of users around the world. Results showed that viewers were 200% more likely to rate a show with a thumbs up or thumbs down system than a 5-star scale. Netflix wants to encourage more viewers to rate shows. So, it went with the up or down system. Netflix also hopes that the up and down ratings will better predict which shows viewers enjoy. The company discovered that viewers' star ratings did not indicate what shows they were more likely to watch. For example, many viewers rated documentaries higher than comedy shows, although they watched comedies more often. With the 5-star rating system, viewers seemed to be rating whether others would enjoy a show. But with the up and down ratings, they voted on what they liked themselves. The update also changes how Netflix suggests shows for users based on their past likes and ratings. Netflix will use a percentage measure to indicate how closely a show matches a user's preferences. If you see a 95% next to a listed show, Netflix is almost certain you will enjoy it. On the other hand, you might want to ignore a movie rated as a 50% match. And that is as low as the system will go. Netflix will not report percentages below 50. If a show does not have a percentage noted, it could mean Netflix does not think you will like it. But it could also mean that Netflix does not have enough information to know whether you would like it. This update will begin in April and be available to users over the next few months. Netflix is also currently testing a skip intro button that lets users fast forward through opening credits of a show. If you are a binge watcher, you are likely to enjoy this new feature. Some Netflix viewers have already seen the skip intro button on original Netflix series and on other television shows when watching Netflix on their computers. Of course, you are still free to watch the intro if you would like. The skip intro button is optional. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.